Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Good morning, everyone.
This is November 24th, 2020. This is episode 126 of Transmission.
126. Well, the dates are catching up to the number.
Mm-hmm. I know that matters a lot to you.
It does. You know, it's the numerology thing.
Today would be an auspicious day to buy a lottery ticket, Daniel.
No. I never win drawings.
No, that's so. Not. You don't have good drawing karma.
I do not. I do not at all.
To introduce ourselves, I'm Mark Van Steenhoek. I'm the director for the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
And I'm Daniel Wolpert, direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And, you know, yesterday was a good day. It was a good day. Although at the end of the day, what I was thinking to myself is, what does it mean in terms of where we're at as a country that I am this happy that my 13th choice for president has been confirmed?
Mostly like it's definitely getting mixed messages from the federal government. It's like, so yeah. They got the go ahead from the GSA, is that what it's called? The government, something or other agency, saying, okay, you can start telling you stuff and start the transition process. But that doesn't mean Trump is seated, but it's definitely an encouraging sign that Biden and his administration will have access to the stuff they need to know and do to prepare for when he steps into office in January. So, that's a really, it isn't a slam dunk, but yeah, when that's like, whoa, yay. I just remembered I don't like Biden really at all, but
I just think back to the first Democratic debate. You got these 12 or 13 people up on stage, and he would have been at the bottom of my list, and
now it's like
happy.
It's like going on a family road trip and finding out like you're stuck in a car with your uncle with halitosis who talks too much. But it's better than being in the car with the uncle who hits you. That's kind of really what it. That's what it is. It's like, I got this uncle.
Wow, I feel sad for you and your family vacations now.
No, I never really knew my uncles very well, so I'm just imagining what it'd be like.
Okay, so our topic today. Rises a bit out of what happened yesterday, but really more out of last night as I was kind of thinking about what's going on and Trump leaving and all this, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, the White House is got to be your basic massive COVID petri dish at this point. I mean, like, it's probably so thick on the walls, like you could take a little scanning electron microscope and you could just like see the little COVIDs all lined up, like waiting to attack. And, you know, and so I thought to myself, like, they are going to have to clean this place. I mean, they're going to have to bring in, you know, ultraviolet light, whatever kinds of serious Clorox everywhere. Like, I don't even know, you know, how are they going to clean the carpets and the paintings and like all the crap that's in the White House? I mean, I just posted about that. I said, you know, I was thinking about COVID. Mm-hmm. Well, I got all these responses. I think we're up to like 50 or 60 comments at this point. And nobody else was thinking about COVID. Everybody else was thinking about evil spirits. and exorcism was by far the number one comment that the White House is going to need. And you know, I think obviously there's, you know, a little bit of joking around that, but I don't really think the people really are joking. I mean, I think that they're really is the sense, and I certainly have been feeling it, that in dealing with not just Trump himself, but the whole phenomenon, this attempt at white supremacy to kind of cling to power, reassert itself, try to rise up that this is a spiritual battle, right? This is a spiritual battle. And, you know, and in the tradition, not that I come from, but the Christian tradition that I've been a part of, that kind of language creeps people out. Like if you go into your average, you know, Presbyterian church and you've got, you know, you're pretty well off, educated, nice people, like if you start talking to them about exorcism and demonic possession and stuff, like they quickly find a way to change the conversation to, you know, how well is the stock market doing or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not the normal sort of conversation. But I think it's an important conversation because there is this spiritual battle going on.
It's true. And even just this, the language of spiritual warfare, exorcism, even naming something as evil, something as demonic, all those are really, I mean, for obvious reasons, the dominant way those things have been expressed, if you're part of the culture, is watching the exorcism, certain exorcist. Tropes of watching the exorcist. Yeah. Different films like that. Seeing priests in films behaving badly, having a vague sense of medieval Catholicism or with sort of the Pentecostal thing of, you know, doing deliverance ministries and laying out of hands and convulsing on the floor and speaking in tongues. And so there's really not much else expressed as what exorcism is. It's not where, what else could it be? And very rarely do we have any sort of way of thinking about it at all. Now that changed a little bit for people who are maybe more theologically educated in a formal way. Maybe they had to encounter Walter Wink or William Stringfellow talking about how these things are really pointing to socio-political and socio-psychological kind of realities. That are also maybe supernatural, but we don't want to just lose them in the ether of supernaturalism. Right. But still, it's like, even if you've read Walter Wenck as a good Lutheran, you're still not going to be up for an exorcism.
Right.
So how do you even, what do we even do with this stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, in one of my books, the Collapse of the Three-Story Universe, Christianity in an Age of Science, you know, I take up this issue of, you know, how do we understand and relate to non-material reality if we also want to be modern scientific people, right? And, you know, what is interesting about how modern physics is evolving is that there really is at this point a very wide acceptance in the physics community that there is what we might call a non-material reality, right? So what has been called dark matter, dark energy, these sort of weird non-particles called neutrinos, the fact that a vacuum is not empty, but is actually frothing with particles and antiparticles. And so there really is a very, very significant body of work at this point that recognizes the fact that what we can see, what we call the material world, is not all that there is. Now, you know, this is the basic understanding of the vast majority of people throughout history, right? When, whether this is called the ancestors or dream time or spirits, you know, most people have acknowledged that there is a non-material reality out there. And so, you know, from the modern point of view, if intelligence and wisdom is also a property of the universe, which it seems to be, and we have the experience of intelligence kind of attaching to what we call material reality, why is it so bizarre to consider that intelligence could also be attached to and part of non-material reality? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as soon as you put those two things together, you basically have the spirit world. And again, if we are going to be serious people of faith, we have to have an understanding that the spirit world is real. Otherwise, you know, Mark, as you were saying yesterday, you know, the spirit just can't exist, and we might as well just kind of pack up the whole spirituality endeavor and go to the YMCA.
Yeah, it's just about breathing exercises to stay calm.
Right.
Well, more than that. But I mean, this is the other piece, like just to kind of move back to some of the reasons why people avoid talking about this is because there's something extremely totalizing about calling something evil or something demonic. And so when we hear that, we interpret that as that thing should be destroyed. It's just vile. Now, of course, you know, if you read people like Hannah Arendt, you realize that evil is kind of this thing that is in the system, and that if you're kind of clueless, you can perpetuate evil. You don't have to have malicious intent. Now, of course, when you have an evil system, and this ties into just to pop up some of these comments from Alexis, facts, that too. But that's all of America. Trump has been in office 4 years. America has been around for years.
4 years.
Yeah. Right. So the thing is, like, whatever Trump is, I think he's malicious, but he's exacerbating an already rotten system. A system that even if you have a good man, which, you know, give the benefit of the doubt to Jimmy Carter being a good man in a bad system, he still ended up doing rotten crap because the system has its own weight and gravity. And so when we talk about the demonic, it's helpful to take a step back and look at it. So two things off the bat that I think are helpful to think about specifically how Jesus engaged things. One, his first exorcism was done in a what we might consider a church. So the place of the holy and the place of the wicked are not as separate as we like to think. And the other thing is the people he exorcised demons out of were not particularly bad people. So we often assume that you have to be really wicked, you have to blaspheme a lot, you have to do evil, nasty deeds, and then demons somehow will enter you. But in the socio-political reality that Jesus was engaging, mostly it was the sensitive and crushed who have manifested the demons that were around them in society. So it's the story of the demon-possessed person who had their demons cast into the pigs, named Legion. This person wasn't a Roman oppressor. This was someone who was oppressed by the Romans, possessed with the demon of Legion, and it was cast into the pigs. So when we think of the term demonic, we have to have some compassion. If someone is oppressed by things we might call demonic, likely they're the people crushed by the system, not the perpetrators of that system. So just the way we have to step away from this way of thinking demonic, someone who's demon possessed or influenced by demons, if we're going to use that language, means extra bad. And that somehow church is this pure thing and that there's this pure stuff over here and then the demonic is this really nasty stuff over here. Reality isn't like that. It's not all cut and dried and clean.
Yeah. Well, and also that when we're talking about demonic, there is a process element to it, right? This mm-hmm. formational element, you know, and you can kind of see, I mean, that's one of the things that people have commented of over the last 4 years, right? Is that they have watched some of their relatives, you know, I've heard this a lot, right?
Yes. And,
like my, you know, my grandmother used to be a pretty nice woman. Like she used to have her head screwed on straight. And now she's just been, you know, watching Fox News nonstop for the last 4 years, and I can't even talk to her anymore. And as I said, I mean, I've heard that story repeated over and over and over again. And we've also heard that about, you know, some mainstream politicians.
Yes.
You know, and some people even said, like, some of these GOP guys, like, they used to be, you know, I didn't agree with them a lot, but they used to be sort of okay. And now, you know, they just seem insane. And so that's the other thing about this, spiritual kind of possession is that, you know, it is evolutionary and it is formational, and it really begins to twist who you are as a person. You know, and there's some great images of that. In one of the Lord of the Rings movies, there's a great scene where, you know, Gandalf exorcises this king, and, you know, he's all like messed up and kind of gross looking and all this. And, you know, once the demon's out of him, he's this, you know, hot young guy again. And that is this physical manifestation of this idea of formational oppression.
Mm-hmm. It's also, just before getting to these comments, to talk about what exorcism is. So if you, the traditions that do exorcism, they do it in a way that engages where they think the center of evil is. So Pentecostals tend to do exorcisms with individuals to cast out individual sins. Like, so if you masturbate a lot, you might be possessed with the demon of lust. And so then you help, you do deliverance on that person, praying for them for hours as they confess every lustful thought they had until the demon is released. Like, that's kind of a thing. But like within a Catholic worker sort of tradition, like leftist or radical Catholics, I've known priests and people who have gone to Air Force bases or naval yards and practiced exorcisms on nuclear submarines, right? And so what they're doing that by that is a different thing. They're naming that as the evil, and that's what they're trying to cast out. And they're just trying to engage in prayer and trying to name what the evil thing is and bear witness to how we need to turn from that evil. So
yeah,
there's all sorts of ways. You know, activism can be a form of exorcism if you think about it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that very much connects to the Legion story that you were talking about, because the thing about the pigs, right, is that the local population, people who are of the 12 tribes of Israel don't eat pigs. So those pigs were specifically there to feed the Roman legion who was stationed nearby in Caesarea. And so the killing of the pigs, whereas, you know, from the pig's point of view, it was definitely a bummer. But that was an act of socio-political revolution and resistance, right? You're cutting off the food source of the local legion, who was also demonic, the demonic force that was oppressing the local population.
Just to add a little twist in there, maybe we should consider that as an example of rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. You know, so just to put that sliver in people's minds when they read that passage again, that may be an example of that, instead of it being like, oh, I should be a good citizen and pay my taxes. Anyways, some comments.
Again, some good comments.
Kathleen writes, Biden was at the bottom of my list. There's a lot of us that feel that way. But I do believe he is able to empathize with others. I think that's also true, especially those like myself who have experienced the tragic loss of persons close to them through accidents or cancer.
Right. Yeah. And you know, once again, just to be clear, I think Biden is a super nice guy. And I love trains just like Joe. And so, you know, I really resonate with that. Every time he brings up trains, I'm like, yeah, trains. I wish there were more trains. So my comment about him being my last choice for president has nothing to do with him as a person. He's an awesome person. And yeah, his personal story and his perseverance and his, you know, what he's gone through and the work he does. Yeah, it's incredible. I have no question about any of that. That's also different from the systemic reality that he has been a part of and in many ways represents. But as I said, at this point, I am super happy that he's going to be president. So all those things, we can hold many things in tension. Is the psyche juggling act.
Yeah. Series writes, many indigenous cultures acknowledge that ecosystems, systems, communities, energetic forces are living forces of their own in connection with the material world. It is more like how different climates coexist together. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, that the material and the non-material are constantly interacting, interpenetrating, engaging each other, you know, in the same way that we're interacting with oxygen and CO2 and plants and animals. And yeah, I mean, it's just normal. I mean, that's the thing, is that for most people, for most of history, that vision of reality was normal. It is only us in our very recent reality in the West who have become these hardcore scientific materialists that believe that what we see and can measure in the material world is the only thing that exists. So we are actually the ones who are abnormal from the perspective of the entire flow of human history. And it is very much this kind of American and Christian exceptionalism that says, oh yeah, you know, we're right. What we figured out right now is right. Everybody else was wrong and dumb. Mm-hmm. And you know, what I find particularly hilarious in terms of being a student of the spiritual life is that most of what the spiritual masters have been saying for thousands of years, we are slowly, from the scientific point of view, proving is correct. So scientific materialism is not an accurate description of reality. And even scientists are very much aware of this, many of them.
Julia writes, I was very disappointed when the eye doctor said my eyesight was perfect. Was hoping for another reason for seeing spirit lights since childhood. I've heard a number of stories like this, and my experiences aren't the same, but I've had mystical experiences that are disconcerting when you find that you're the only one having them, or you feel like an anomaly until you meet others. Right. But this is kind of part of what Dan's saying. Like, we don't really understand the full totality of human perception, like what people perceive. Like, it doesn't have to fall into this easy binary of your eyes are material, so they cannot see immaterial things. It's just a wacky world.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you do with those lights that you see. I'm kind of curious about how you responded to that and how you respond still.
Well, but the truth is, and this is, again, the interesting thing about being in, and this is the effect of the system on the individuals, right? So we're in this social system that is largely governed by scientific materialism. And so we get this message, and people will say this to you. Well, you know, I had these weird experiences, but I've never told anybody because people would think I'm crazy, mm-hmm. right? And so we are told sociologically, if you admit that you've, you know, seen some things, had out of body experiences, heard voices, you know, seen dead people, all of this, you are crazy. And so, obviously, if something like that happens to you, there's not a whole lot of people you're going to tell. But what's very interesting is that when you start talking to people about this, the vast majority of people have had some of those experiences, often many of them. And many people have them on a regular basis. And again, if you were in a different culture where this was just normal and accepted, you know, people would talk about that and it wouldn't be this weird thing, right? You wouldn't either be crazy or some sort of, you know, nutty fundamentalist. It would be just like, well, yeah, I mean, human beings interact with all kinds of levels of reality and that's just what goes on and it's okay.
Sirius writes, it's very spiral and fractal. I'm wondering if you mean fractal. So the collective energy of the Trump admin on top of the already fucked collective consciousness has a will of its own. That's kind of the thing that's hard for a lot of people to get. Like, the idea that there's something more than the sum total of the physical parts, right? And that can have some sort of something at least similar to consciousness that has its own will. Like, that's hard for people to get, but we've all been a part of groups. Like, so churches that have this tendency to move in a certain direction in these choices, where it's not just because of an individual wielding unnecessary, extra influence. It's just somehow collectives can have their own sort of movement and will and drift. And so that's kind of what the banality of evil kind of ends up being about. Like, you have these systems that end up having this drift towards oppressing people. and people mindlessly participating in that, not knowing any better. That's why it's a mistake every time something bad happens in this country that this empire does, we just blame the person on top as though it's their responsibility only. You see that still from, you know, we can say conservatives are the ones who are individualistically minded like that, but liberals do that all the time. So, and we do that with Trump. Trump is bad, but also the system was bad anyway. So like he just made it worse. But he get rid of him, we still have the same crap system. Now we have Biden, who I'm not confident will be able to do a whole lot about it, but he'll make maybe undo some of the stuff the last guy did. Like that's kind of what we're hoping for, because that'd be good, because people will suffer less and it gives us some hope to maybe we can move things further. But yeah.
All right, we need to start rolling through our comments.
Julie writes, that was when I was a teenager and I've learned to accommodate non-material world gifts.
Right. Yep.
Kathleen writes, did Jesus destroy demons when he drove them into the pigs? Yeah. I don't know what
probably
happened.
Probably not. Yeah, probably I don't know.
Went somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and he talks about that, right? In another exorcism story, that the demons just wander through this watery place and then they attach to something else.
Yeah, and then sometimes it's referred to as an arid place. Like there's just kind of these, seems like these guesses of this sort of void expanse where they are untethered until they tether themselves to some sort of material expression, which is kind of trippy and terrifying to think about, which is why there's so many great movies about that. Sirius writes, it's not enough to just kick out Trump and his cult. The presence and norms need to be out. I think the pandemic situation can teach a lot about how non-material reality moves. Oh my God, this has been, this is why we started this transmission podcast. Vidcast, is because of we saw things being revealed that maybe were becoming more obvious to people, which to some of us there are, but a lot of people are stuck in some delusion lands.
It's just, well, yeah. Amazing.
People say like
some affirmations.
Affirmations, which I welcome them always. Yep, Daniel, evolutionary and formational, spot on. David writes, I haven't seen you for a while on here, David. Good to talk again. I wonder if the destruction of the pigs linked with the liberation of the demoniac is the economic disruption necessary to release the captive, i.e. Makes me think of those who say Black Lives Matter but don't like that the organization challenges capitalism. There's a lot in there. That's a good comment.
Yeah.
And it's another piece of this that I think we have to keep in front of us, that when Jesus was engaging demonic forces, they weren't simply spiritual, and then there was this political over there, which we talked about yesterday. It was economic, it was political, it was sociological, it was religious. All those things were enmeshed within each other, and they still are now. We just don't want to see it that way. So we bifurcate or divide things and act like demonic is a spiritual thing. And we have this fear, if you're someone who believes in the supernatural, that if you start talking about it as though it's political and economic, that it somehow means that it can no longer be spiritual. We have to break ourselves of that mental habit, because they all intertwine. Right. All the time.
Yeah, and that's Heather's comment gets at that. Next.
We lost the train. We need an exorcism of greed. Amen.
Yeah.
Kathleen writes, I realized my father had dementia when he started quoting Fox News. Then he died, and now my mother's doing the same thing. They prey on the elderly who are bored. Right.
That's yeah, cool. And again, this great Jesus story about the, you know, cleaning the house and driving out the demons, but then, you know, if they're empty, they just come back with all their friends. You know, our mind is highly porous. You know, we think of it as confined, you know, just mm-hmm. within our skull, like we've got this skull, you know, stuff can't get in. But our mind is highly porous, and it's interconnected with the mental space and ecology that's everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, what we allow in and how we relate to what we allow in is a very important thing to pay attention to. And right, if we're just sitting there, you know, watching TV all day on a big giant 60-inch television and people just telling you, you know, crazy stuff. A few weeks later, you're going to get up and just start mouthing the exact same crazy stuff. And you're not even going to know that you're doing it. You're not even going to know how it happened. And it's a very, very well-known process. I mean, everybody who works in advertising understands how this works. Mm-hmm. That's the way advertising works. So,
Series is fractal, not fracture. Assuming you were meaning. Jim writes, forgiveness should not be confused with reconciliation. I feel like we can have a whole episode about that statement right there, because I don't know exactly what you mean, but to me, in my mind, people often treat forgiveness as something I do towards other and it's interior, and then reconciliation is a tangible working out of restitution and things. I don't want to uncouple those at all. I think if we have forgiveness be an internal attitude and that's where it stays, then we're not talking about the way forgiveness is usually talked about in scripture. It becomes very therapeutic, which there's something to that, but we could talk about that for a whole episode.
That would be a good one.
We'll bookmark that one. The mind is a deep well. Some are deeper than others. It's a little Trump comment. Sorry. Julia writes, I was shocked when my young peers couldn't see the same things I saw. Mm-hmm. I bet that's got to be a little terrifying. So went into the closet at a young age with that. I'm glad that you're out of that closet. That must have been.
Well, and then her next comment is great.
But now I get to help my grandchildren who also have the same gifts.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Catherine writes, relevant. Just watched the 1990 cult fantasy horror movie Nightbreed, in which lovable demon monster characters are hiding from the real monsters, a genocidal white supremacist mob of humans led by corrupt police. God, I have never seen that. Now I need to. Such a great premise. The movie is kind of a mess, in part because the studio apparently didn't understand how those could be compelling villains. I wish we... If there's any directors listening, you can remake that. That'd be a good premise to do, right?
Yeah, that'd be a great remake.
Julie writes, though the gifts were referred to as the family curse by many aunties and uncles and cousins. Mm-hmm. Amen, Heather. Ed writes, where are you guys on angels? Any experiences? I've never had any. Go ahead.
Angels are, that's just a term that refers to an organized non-material intelligence and that can present itself to humans. And I've had lots of those kinds of experiences, as have many, many people that I know. I just go back to the comment that within our culture, this is considered weird and abnormal. In every other society, certainly every single what we call indigenous society, this is an absolutely normal thing.
I mean, it's a good question. Like, I guess if I thought about it, I think all of my mystical experiences, I would say, are divine in origin. But not all of them necessarily felt like I was having a direct conversation with God. So maybe, I just don't know. It doesn't really matter that much to me, but it's an interesting kind of provocative question. Series writes, this is why many spiritual communities had embodied practices. Grounding, art, therapeutics, and contemplation and meditation protect our being personally and collectively from being seduced.
Yeah, and Rudolf Steiner, is the German 20th century mystic, had a great comment about that. Said that for every step you take in the spiritual world, you need to take three steps in the material world. And referring to this kind of grounding that Sirius is talking about.
Well, that's a good final word from Sirius.
All right. Yeah. So this has been a lot of fun. And I hope you all have a good and safe few days here, Thanksgiving time. Do not go to O'Hare Airport with the millions of other people that are going there and giving each other COVID.
And that's the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah, and we'll just continue to keep focused on the giant cleaning of the White House.
Yeah, so we will be back on next week, presumably Monday.
On Monday.
Yep. Yeah. And so between now and then, be safe. Hopefully we'll find out new and better things from the White House. And final word from Julia, Rudolph was smart.
Yes. Oh. All right. Love y'all. Bye.
Peace. Thank you.